Welcome to About Sex with Angela Skirtu, sex therapist. Tell us who you are, Angela.
Well, I'm an ASEX certified sex therapist, and I'm a licensed marriage therapist here in St. Louis.
That's awesome. And I'm Josh.
He's my husband.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Anyway, so today, a bit ago, we were talking about this. You said one of the most common problems that women come in about sex when you're doing sex therapy with them is what?
Well, there's a lot of common ones, but one that came to mind was pressure, feeling pressured
under
about
pressure.
Sex.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah,
dun,
definitely. Dun,
dun. So what does that mean? Like they're feeling pressured to have more sex or to do it differently? Or
yeah, they feel constantly criticized by their partner that they're not having sex enough or they're not doing sex well enough.
Which
that
is
they're
definitely a big turn on for them, I'm sure.
They are. It is. They it's are being feedback. Criticized.
It's a feedback loop.
That's usually a part of it, is that they're feeling very criticized. So even when they do have sex, it's like not enough for some reason, or they're not having enough sex, or they're not getting into sex enough. And it almost because they're getting criticized so much, they just lose heart
worse.
For it and desire for it altogether.
Yeah, they avoid it altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it becomes sexless marriage because...
Yeah, that's one reason. That's one reason. That's and they feel like they can't even get... like what happens in these marriages is the affection starts to subside because they're so worried that if they show affection to their partner that he's going to want sex, that they avoid affection. They avoid meeting their own needs, actually.
Here's the thing. Men always want to have sex. So you can't let that be a reason for not showing affection to your partner, because the reality is you can still be affectionate and still not have sex. Like, I think it's an important part for any couple to have is to be able to just kiss each other and hold each other. And it doesn't matter when it could be during your menstrual cycle when you're not available for it, but you still need that connection, that love.
I think these women need to know that that's okay, because I don't think their partners tell them that that's okay. And I don't think they're actually having a very clear conversation about, hey, can tonight be just a night that we cuddle? Can tonight just be an affection night, not a sex night? Because you're right. Men do want to have sex often. Not all men. There are some men with lower desire. But those men who are on the go and who could have sex at any time, sometimes when they're having affection, a woman does just kind of want to be loved and treated like a woman, not necessarily
like a
sexual object.
Sure. And well, I don't think you ever want to be treated like an object, but sometimes you want to feel sexy.
You want to be desired.
You want to be desired.
I mean, there's the object of your affection. So I think to some degree we like a little bit of it.
I think that turn of phrase people have made a negative thing, though.
Yeah, because people feel objectified. They usually think of like strippers or porn stars.
Yeah, there's no love.
I mean, but there is something sexy about, I mean, there's a sexual part to being objectified, too. I just think there needs to be a balance of objectification.
Sure. Every woman wants to be worshipped.
A little 100%. Bit.
You are my queen, and I bow down to your beautiful body. I mean,
but
on.
I think it depends on how it's done. Yeah, there's this great song, Take Me to Church, and it's all about him like worshiping at her temple, like her body is her temple. It's super hot. When I heard it, I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Maybe your body is a wonderland. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think some women do want to be objectified in that way. But there's a limit. You know, we still want to feel like women, like people, and sometimes men aren't making them feel that way, and sometimes they struggle with sex too. I think that's a part of it as well. Is usually this is a woman who isn't very comfortable with her body or isn't comfortable with sex, and so then,
or maybe there's a reason they're avoiding sex all of a sudden
because they've lost desire,
or they have pain during sex,
or they're having pain. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons, or they're not getting orgasms,
or they're having relationship problems in the first place.
Yep, or they don't. Yeah, because that's the thing. Those men who are like that, who could have sex at any given time. Sometimes even after a fight can have sex where she's like, I don't want to be anywhere near you. I don't like you right now.
That's something I've never understood, the whole like makeup sex after a fight thing. Like that never happens for us.
I could see it happening if you actually made up, like if
but
we had a recovery.
Night. Not if it was a really bad fight.
Yeah, not a really bad fight. But like if you had said, hey, I'm sorry, and you actually tried to forgive each other, I could see sex happening after that kind of fight.
Maybe. So that's not a fight, though. That's just more of a small disagreement.
You still have to make up. I think makeup sex happens after the makeup.
Sure. Oh, yeah, you have to make up. Oh,
yeah, you have to
so many rules. rules.
Apologize for being douchebags to each other and make up. Then you can have makeup sex.
Is that a clinical term?
Douchebag? No, it's not. For those of you who are offended by it, sorry, but sometimes people are being mean to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so, like, I think having a partner who wants sex even after, like, a fight, that can be hard. It can make you feel like you're pressured. And so it makes women stop wanting to have sex altogether. And they avoid it like the plague. And they avoid affection like the plague.
Everything's like the plague, apparently.
Yeah, I know. Well, you do want to avoid a plague.
Yeah, I think I want to avoid the plague. I hear it's not a very nice thing.
I hear, like the black plague.
It was so hot in the 1400s, though.
I don't know if it was that hot. It just kind of happened to a lot of people.
Well, you had a fever, so definitely.
I have a fever, and the only prescription is more plague.
It was actually antibiotics. That's what helped it.
Yeah, that's what helped.
Yeah.
Big money trail.
They had black boils everywhere, and they died.
That is not sexy, Josh. We're going to have to come back from this.
Well, we're not talking about a very sexy topic right now. We're talking about not having sex.
Well,
that is the least sexy thing, is to not have sex.
One of the things I have to get people to do when this is the case is I have to get them to be more less critical and more encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
I have to get them to talk and actually say something.
Maybe
like,
more positively reinforce the good things.
Yeah, that was really nice.
And understand why sometimes it isn't happening and take care of yourself.
Yeah, like I've had women who literally were criticized right after having sex.
For what?
For not having it enough. And so they're like, right after they have sex, saying,
so they're like,
you know, if only we could just do this every day,
then all our problems would be solved.
And she's like, I just did it. Does this not count? What's going on? And like the thing that goes on in her head is like, why am I even trying? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so, they need to be encouraged after having sex. They need to hear, wow, that was amazing.
That was a great baby.
That was wonderful. And then just so bask in it. You don't need to like talk or recap. Just bask in that feeling of euphoria.
Yeah, they're a little bit too much in their head if they can't just move on. And that's some people's problem, is that they're too worried about not getting it, I guess. But here's the thing.
It's like,
I get it a lot more when I'm married. Like from when I was single, never got laid. Once you're married, you get it all the time. So if you're complaining about getting it a couple times a month, trust me, single people have it less.
That's true, because they have to find it more. It's harder to find regular sex.
And a lot of states, it's illegal for that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, there's other things that women come into therapy for as well. Like some women have never had an orgasm, actually. And they've been married for many years. That's another reason why sometimes sex goes away, because
they're not getting much
out of it.
Yeah.
And so when women have never had an orgasm, some of what they have to learn to do is teach themselves how to orgasm.
Because
what will have happened is maybe she expected her husband to learn how to do
to
this.
Just know how to, because sex education is so good in this country.
One of our episodes recently was all about that, right? Well, and I was thinking about the vagina lately. It's a pretty complex.
Aren't we all, though? I mean, come on. It's always on everyone's mind.
I don't know if it's always on everyone's mind.
Constantly.
But I work with sex all day, every day. So sometimes it is on my mind. But not necessarily in a sexual way. I was thinking about sex. I was thinking about the vagina and how complex it is. There's a lot of flaps and folds down there. Mm-hmm. There's two different labia, labia majora, labia minora.
Yep.
And then there's a clitoris that's hidden behind a hood.
Why are you wearing a hoodie? Come on.
And there's the G-spot that's inside, and you have to, it's like
reach
at the back of the clitoris, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so actually it's kind of difficult to figure out how to use a vagina properly.
Oh yeah, I definitely needed the instruction manual. Thanks for providing that when we got married. It really helped.
That's the point. It doesn't come with an instruction manual.
Nothing
Josh.
Does. Nothing does.
Nothing
Why does nothing?
It's true.
Like kids don't. Vaginas don't. Marriages don't.
Marriages don't. Penises don't.
I have no idea what I'm doing. All the time. Like constantly.
Yeah, you got to learn.
I'm just going to figure it out.
Well, and so if you're waiting for a guy to figure out what to do with your vagina, and he doesn't own a vagina, he's going to just be flailing.
Maybe he rents one every once in a while, but to really lease one and keep it around.
I hear you're not supposed to flick it.
Unless it's light.
Exactly. Yeah. And so sometimes women, what they have to learn to do is touch it themselves, learn what feels good themselves, and then tell their partners.
Yeah.
But then you have to be comfortable talking with your sex about partner. And if he's being critical, then it's going to be hard to explain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Nobody wants to be criticized when it comes to something so intimate, you know?
Yeah. You're so vulnerable.
But at the same time, so how does a guy who is in more of a sexless situation where it's not happening, bring it up in a tactful way and really try to help the situation? Because we're talking about the woman complaining about it.
Yeah.
And you're making it only seem like the guy is just an insensitive jerk when most of them know.
He's probably hurt too.
Sex is a very important part of a marriage. It definitely is one of the closest ways you connect.
Yeah.
There's something very, I don't know, special about it that you only get with your wife or your husband. And I think that's the point, is that he sometimes feels like he's not connected to her physically and emotionally, because there is a physical and emotional connection when it comes to that. So how does he tactfully bring it up without being a complainer?
Well, I mean, that's the hard thing, is sometimes you do need to complain. So there's a difference between complaining and criticizing, though.
Oh, I don't know.
Criticism is just flat out, like, you're always kind of pointing out the wrong thing somebody's doing constantly again and again. And sometimes it's related to them as a person and not just the action. So criticism can be, like, let's take it out of sex for a bit.
Okay.
So if you're dealing with dishes and you're addressing a problem with your partner, if you say you're lazy, that's a criticism. Instead of just saying, hey, can we come up with a way to do the dishes that works for both of us? That's a complaint.
So what's constructive criticism then?
Yeah. Well, so if we take that out of the dishes and into sex, if a guy is criticizing her, he's saying, you just don't like sex. You're just not a sexual person. Or
now
he
he's
might
jumping
say,
to conclusions.
Well, he's making a big, broad statement about who she is as a person.
Right.
Or he's saying, you just don't like sex. There's something wrong with you. And so criticism is linked to them as a whole person, is linked to the way they look at sex. And there are people who do struggle with sex. But even with that, there's a different way. If you're offering it as a complaint or just like bringing up a problem, you're talking about, like, maybe you are in a sexless marriage. That is a broad complaint, but the way you might bring it up would be, I would really like it if we worked on our sex life. I feel like we aren't having sex as much as would make me happy. And I'm wondering if you'd be willing to do something about that, like go to therapy.
Maybe go see Angela Skirtu's sex therapist in St. Louis.
Oh, and therapy is one way. Or, like, what if we researched about sex? Because sometimes people don't want to go to a therapist right away. They get kind of freaked out. People have this misbelief that, or misunderstanding, that therapy is only when you're ready to end a marriage, which I think is really bad therapy.
That's bad timing.
To me, good therapy is throughout your marriage. It's when you're having a problem and you really just need to work it out. It's not to end a marriage or the pre-divorced thing.
No.
It's
when you're going through a struggle.
Yeah.
And you feel like you don't really have a way of just solving it easily.
Yeah.
And you want to do it in a way that is not criticizing.
Yeah.
And it's do it a way that is proactive, and you work together with it to try to make it better.
And you want a person who gets you, who thinks a little outside of your relationship, because sometimes you're so close to home in that relationship and the fights that you're having that you can't think about it neutrally. You need an objective person.
Because first of all, you're fighting about sex,
which is
the least
so vulnerable.
Sexy thing in the world.
Yeah.
There's definitely a negative feedback loop there.
Yeah,
so you're
exactly.
complaining about not getting sex. Guess what you're not getting the next day?
Sex.
Because you can't guilt somebody into giving you regular sex. They may give it one or two times just to shut you up, but the reality is they're going to resent you for that 100%.
Yeah. So basically what people need to be able to do is bring it up seriously. You do need to have a talk, and not in the bedroom. Like, have a conversation where you're sitting down, you're by yourselves.
Not while you're mounted.
No, because that's not, you're already vulnerable. That's the worst time to bring that up.
Sure.
No, it's more like, I'm really unhappy with our sex life, and I'm willing to do work with it too. Like, that's the other thing, not making the person feel
blamed.
Not
make it their problem.
Yeah, but make it our problem.
Say, hey, I don't feel our sex life.
I'm willing to work to do whatever it takes.
Good as it could be.
You can offer solutions, but you still have to have a conversation, you know? And so I think sometimes coming up with ideas, like maybe we go to therapy, maybe we could get a book and read it together. So this is the difference between that like criticism version versus working as a team, right? Mm-hmm. So like sometimes a person will get a book and give it to their partner and say, you need to read that.
No, that's criticism.
That's a criticism.
That's just acting like a douche.
Well, I mean, people do it. I see this all the time. And yeah, it's saying you have a problem. You need to fix yourself. Mm-hmm. The reality is as a couple, that's one of the rules in the marriage rule book, if there would be one, is you really have to work through problems as a team.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Nobody's an island.
And it's pretty common for couples to go through rough patches. So when you have your rough patches, don't just let them get really terrible and keep going.
You have to add some lube or it'll get dried out and cracked. And
I'm just talking about regular relationship issues.
If it starts to peel at all, you don't want to pick at it either. You know, just lube it, get a little lotion on there. When you get a little ashy.
This is something I actually wrote about in my book. I want to put a plug in for it. Premarital Counseling, A Guide for Clinicians. But basically what I said is that it's really common for couples to go through rough patches. And if you think back across your life before you were ever married or in a long-term relationship, guess what? You had good years and bad years. Most of us can look through our childhood and probably point to a year or two that were kind of crummy years.
Generally, you remember the bad ones more.
Well, but what I'm saying is that is a natural part of life. So now combine two people in a marriage or in a long-term relationship, because not everybody marries, right? Let's be inclusive. And so just like before you met that person, you had good years and bad years. Sure. Now you have two people in a relationship who will have good years and bad years. And those years are going to affect each other. Oh, sometimes you're on a good year when I'm on a bad year. Sometimes it switches.
Or it's the worst year ever because you're both having a terrible year.
Yeah, that happens. It happens all the time. I love you too. And I just think couples need to know that. Like, this is normal. Don't let it destroy you.
Talking about normal real quick.
Yeah.
What is the average amount that people have sex as a married couple?
It varies depending on their desire level. Sure. So I
what
say
is a common amount.
A common one that people say makes them happy is once a week or once or twice a week. But there are people who do once every other week who are happy. There are people who have sex once a month who are happy. Mm. And there are people who have sex and on their anniversary and that's it. And they're happy.
And they're happy?
There are some. It depends on your desire level. So if you have two people with very low desire, the anniversary sex is fine for them. But if their desires are very different, they just live their lives.
I don't know what you do with your time if you don't have that going on.
I'm just saying it depends. Like, there are couples who are in sexless marriages who are perfectly fine with it.
Sex 5 times a week.
And there are, there are couples who have sex every day.
A few months later, you're only having it once a week. Because the reality is your desire levels are going to go up and down based on other things like your mood in general and the strength of your relationship at that moment.
But that's why the average tends to be once a week. So that, you know, because across however many people are doing it, however which way, quite a few people are in that once a week category. Because you got to think about work. You got to think about kids.
Yeah,
you
I see
about
that
life.
I see that as a minimum goal. There's also, although that's once a week, 3 weeks out of the month. The fourth week.
I was saying once a week with that fourth week. So 1 week could be two.
I see. So four times a month.
Or if you're okay with period sex, there are people who do period sex.
No.
It was in 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, you told me about that.
It happens. So I'm just saying, but I don't want people to feel abnormal if they're not hitting that. Like, if you are having sex 2 times a month and you're happy with it and you're both happy with it as a couple, then that's okay. It really depends on a couple's desire level.
Maybe ask your partner how sex do they feel is a good amount to have. Mm-hmm. But the reality is you may want to have a certain amount, but then when you have a kid and you have dogs and you have family around, you may not get as much time as you want. That's the reality.
Well, you're bringing up a good point, though, and that is that couples need to be clear with each other what their expectations are, but at the same time, they have to be willing to compromise. Because, one person could have the expectation of every day, where the other person is once a month.
Right.
So there clearly has to be a compromise there.
Yeah.
But if you know what that expectation is, then you can actually make some middle ground ideas. You know, like, let's try once or twice a week, but then in between those times, you can go masturbate.
Oh, that's allowed?
That's totally allowed.
Wait. That's allowed? It's allowed. You never told me that.
Yeah, usually the higher desire partner is masturbating between those sexual sessions.
So all
that's
men.
Okay.
All men.
Well, sometimes the woman's the higher desire partner.
Yeah, I've never met a woman who said she masturbates every day.
I've never met a woman who masturbates every day, No, that's not true. I've met some, but I will say that I've met women who are like 2 or 3 times a week desire people mm-hmm. who are with men who desire it once a month. And in that case, that woman sometimes feels very hurt because her partner doesn't desire it as much, and she feels weird.
Right. So they take it personally.
Yeah. Which in reality, everybody has different desire. It just depends on who you are, what your hormone levels are.
A big part of being in a relationship is feeling desired by the other person. So if they're not feeling that coming from the other side, I can definitely understand why they, like men like to... We like to label men as just having no emotion. It's just, I want sex.
Men have emotions.
The reality is that sex, not having sex, means there's also a lack of other affection going on. Mm-hmm. And affection is very important. Touch is important. Kissing is important. There's all these very, very important things that go on that lead up to sex.
Well, and that are taking care of your basic needs. I mean, human touch is one of the most basic
needs.
Yeah, I need a hug. Like when you're sad, getting a hug from your partner is so important.
Or a blowjob.
You just said men have feelings and then you went straight there. You're like totally negating your point.
I also feel in my penis.
Oh, God. So there you have it. Men have feelings, but women do too. And you guys just got to be upfront with each other and come up with compromises.
So the solution to all our problems is just to talk to each other?
Talk, be nice.
And be civil about it.
Be nice and civil about it. And if you really can't be critical, please come into therapy. I'm really here for you guys.
Yeah. Because the reality is therapy may sound expensive, but divorce costs a lot more.
Yeah. Well, and also not just financially, but emotionally, it costs a lot more.
Yeah, but divorce costs a lot more.
It's painful to divide your whole life up like
that. No, I would never want to get divorced. I love you so much.
I would never want it either. I mean, how terrible. I understand, but if you're in a bad relationship, I also want to like say I understand that it's important for people to be able to have that option.
But nobody wants
that. But if you can avoid it, man, let's avoid it.
See a therapist. Maybe Angela Skirtu at www.therapistinst.louis.com. You can check out our podcast at aboutsexpodcast.com. Uh-huh. Or you can find Angela all over Facebook and Twitter and Twatter and all those different places. She's all over social media. Just look up Skirtu.
Just look up Angela Skirtu.
S-K-U-R-T-U.
And please subscribe, like, share. Yeah. We're trying to educate the public.
Oh, yeah. And have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Keep it dirty.